Once again, it's really been uplifting to be with you today. For this morning's lesson, this is going to be the last in this little series that we have shared in this hour of worship for the past several weeks, months, I guess, a number of these one another passages. And I felt like it's appropriate to have reserved this one to be the last one, because in my way of thinking, if I'm right about this, all of these various admonitions regarding how we should treat one another and interact with one another all spring out of our love for one another. This is the one that is often referred to by Jesus as the greatest. It kind of is the linchpin, if you will, of all of the rest. So we have this stated many times, love one another. I call attention to John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, where Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Isn't it true that sometimes something that is old, in that it's been around a long time, can become new in a sense because of a new way in which it is treated, or a new way in which it is perceived or experienced? Sometimes that way with children's toys. When we were raising our children, we learned a little trick is that they end up with so many toys and they get tired of them. But if you take them and just hide them for a while and put them away, and then wait a long time and pull it out, it's just kind of like new again. Wow, I forgot all about that. Well, sometimes it could be something like that. Sometimes like a game of golf that becomes new when you see somebody that really knows how to play it. A master plays it. It's not the same game. Or like a piece of music or a dish of food, things that are old that we've enjoyed so many times can sometimes just be made new. And I think of those kinds of life experiences when I read what Jesus said. That he said, I'm giving you a new commandment. He also said this in the 15th chapter of John, verse 12. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." And verse 17, "This I command you, that you love one another." So it's a statement Jesus made a number of times in his teachings, but it stands out, especially here in chapter 13, that he says it is a new commandment. And it is significant, I think, that he says that this commandment and the proper observance of this commandment would prove those who are his true disciples. This would be the distinguishing characteristic. This is how men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That in itself ought to catch our attention about the importance of the command to love one another. Well, I want us to turn our attention to 1 John, the first epistle of John, where the apostle has so much to say about love. It is a book in which that is a major topic here in the first epistle of John. And we're going to look at that and notice some things that he has to say here. And I'm going to begin in chapter 2, in verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7, he says, "Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard." So it's interesting that when Jesus has said, I'm giving you a new commandment, here as John writes this, he points out that this is a commandment that's been around a long time, from the beginning. It's an old commandment. In one sense, it was not new. It was old. It's something that they many of them had learned before, especially those who have come from a Jewish background. They would be familiar with it. It's already there in the Old Testament, Leviticus 19, verse 18, where it says that you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So love your neighbor as yourself is a very important, kind of one of the cardinal teachings of the Old Testament law. So it was old in that sense, but I think also it must have been old, as John writes it, because this is something that they had known from the outset of their Christian life. In chapter 2, verse 24, he says, "Let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning." He's talking here about things. He's not proposing a lot of new things here in this letter necessarily. Some of it may be, but he is calling things to their remembrance that they have heard before, and this was probably one of them. They knew about the teaching to love one another. Chapter 3, verse 11, he says specifically, "This is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." So this is something they had heard before. It was an old commandment in all of these ways. Brotherly love was evidently part of the original message that had come to them. In fact, as we just read in the Gospel of John, this is something that Jesus had taught during his earthly ministry. So it was already emphasized as something that was going to be fundamental to the kingdom that he was to establish. So it was part of the original message. It was no new invention or innovation in that sense. It was as old as the gospel itself. So it was a commandment that went far back in their lives, even far back in history. But he says there's another way in which you need to understand that it is a new commandment. So picking up the reading in chapter 2, verse 9, verse 8, he says, "On the other hand, I'm writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." So while the idea of loving one another was not new in and of itself, it is new, and John, I think, emphasizes, as Jesus does, that Jesus invested this commandment to love one another with a richer and deeper significance, richer and deeper meaning. So in what way? Well, for one thing, it's that there's new emphasis that he gave it. You remember in Matthew chapter 22, on that occasion, near the end of Jesus' earthly life, that the Pharisees, the scribes came to him and they said, "What's the greatest commandment? What's the greatest commandment?" They evidently wanted to draw him into an ongoing debate that he had. Well, you know, pick out one that is the essence of all of the most important one. And Jesus gives an answer. And what he does, he brings two Old Testament passages together. He says the first one is Deuteronomy 6:5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love God with all your being." But he says the second is like unto it, and he goes back to this Leviticus 19 passage. "You shall not take vengeance or grudge. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And Jesus goes on to say that the whole teaching of the law and the prophets depended on these commandments. The love commandment. Love God, love your neighbor. That was what connected all of them. That's what they all depended on. The essence. And you know, I think a good study, if you just take the Ten Commandments sometimes, and you take the first four of the Ten Commandments, and they're all about our relationship with God as a Jew. That's love of God. And then the remaining six focus on our relationship with one another. Love your fellow man. Isn't that true? Just even when you look at that, just in that superficial kind of way, you see that the whole law and the prophets depended on this great principle. Well, Jesus is applying it, of course, and he will apply it, and he says this is a greatest commandment. This is a new commandment. It's a new emphasis that he puts upon it. It was also new in the quality that he gave it, the quality that he gave it. In what way? Well, he says that the disciple was to love others not just as he loved himself, but in the same measure as Christ had loved him. The law said, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, let me take it a step further. If you want to understand how to love one another, you love one another in the way that I have loved you. In what way is that? The selfless self-sacrifice even unto death. That's how we know the love of God. Chapter 3, here, verse 16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. So there's a new quality to this mess. So a new emphasis, new quality. And then it's new in the extent he gave it. Is how far does it reach? You know, I think last Sunday in our study in the Gospel of Luke, we came across the parable of the Good Samaritan. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? And, of course, what that parable called, among other things, was that the neighbor that we must love turns out to be anyone who needs our compassion and help, irrespective of their race, irrespective of their rank. And that's a powerful message. That's how far love should... Love is not just for those that are in our inner circle, not just for people that are our fellow countrymen, not just for those in our family that we like. No, it's for everyone. The extent was different. And then the other thing that John talks about here, it's interesting, he talks about, he says, this is a new commandment because the true life is coming. The true life. He says, the one who loves his brother abides in the light and not in the darkness. And the way he talks about this, it seems that he's describing this new kingdom, the kingdom he has come to establish, this new age that has dawned. He says in verse 8, the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. This new commandment of Jesus is here because it belongs to the new age of the gospel, this new dispensation, as we sometimes call it, that's been ushered in by the shining of the true light. It is the essence of the gospel message. The message of divine love that has been bestowed upon mankind. And so that's why he says that being a true Christian, truly abiding in the light, comes down to whether or not we love our brother, as he says in verse 9. We may claim to be enlightened. We may say, like the song says, I saw the light. I've seen the light. But he says, if we hate our brother, we remain in darkness. That's how significant this is, this new commandment. Then I want to just notice for a moment how John develops this. We go over to chapter 3, and he's emphasizing that love for one another is an active thing. It's supposed to be an active thing. It's loving in deed and in truth. In chapter 3, in verse 14, he says, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. And everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. This is really, really powerful up here. He's emphasizing that love is an active thing. That we love one another by sacrificing for them. We love one another by opening our hearts to their needs. We should love in deed and in truth. Paul spoke of this once in Colossians chapter 3 when he referred to love as the perfect bond of unity. And he talked about such things as a willingness to be forgiving and forbearing with each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven us. That's love. Love is an active thing. And so he said, let us be sure that we love not just in word, but in deed and in truth. And then go to chapter 4. We'll look at a little bit of what he says in chapter 4, verses 7 through 19. This is the most lengthiest reading here. I just want to read through this and then make a couple of final comments about the lessons that it teaches us. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So one of our hymns earlier this morning was, God is love. And it comes from this passage, doesn't it? God is love. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Well, there's an awful lot in that passage, enough for several more lessons. So I just want to make this final point, and that is, when we talk about the new commandment that Jesus gives us, love one another, it's all predicated on the very nature of God Himself, the very person of God. That's His essence. That's who He is. That's what He does. Love is from God. God is love. Isn't it amazing how many doors that single statement unlocks? How many questions it answers? It is the explanation of creation. Think about that. Why did God create? And why did He decide for the greatest part of His creation to be one made in His own image, if it was not for love? It is the explanation of human free will. It is the explanation of the providence of God in our lives. It is the explanation of redemption. It is the explanation of the life beyond. It goes back to this important principle. God is love. All love is from God. We would not know God if God had not enabled us to know love and to practice love. And so love is identified with the character of God. And you know, when we understand God giving His Son to die for sinners, that's the fullest understanding of love. That's the fullest understanding of divine love that there is. And that's why John draws our attention to that repeatedly in this text. Verse 9, God sent His Son to die so that we might live. John 3:16, God so loved the world. Verse 10, God so loved us even though we had not loved Him. He loved us before we were. Already when God made us, He already had a plan to save us. There was love. So we show that we know God, John says. We demonstrate that we know God, that we know who He is, and that we are His children when we love one another. And when we fail in that regard, we deny any such profession. So isn't it always good when something old is turned into something new? And we certainly see that in this case. Paul describes this kind of thing in another place when he says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. So what that's promising us is that when we turn to the Lord in faith, when we come to Him with a believing and obedient heart, all things can become new. And that's the promise. That's the promise for us. So let us love one another. We're going to stand down and sing the closing song, and if we can help anyone in any way whatsoever, good time to let us know. Let us stand and sing.